It is a gorgeous, beautiful day outside. You know, I mean, it's not even too cold, you know. Wow, I walked outside earlier, I guess it must have been, 12 o'clock, something like that, when I finally did go outside. And after what we've had, I thought, gee, I ought to be out here planting strawberries today or something, you know. It's so nice. Yeah, it's a heat wave. Wow, praise the Lord. Oh, goodness, what devastation has come upon this world. You know, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what is happening. And, all kinds of people are saying what they think it is. But I just like Dave just said a while ago, I got news for you. I know who's doing it all. God's in control. The king is in control. You know, that statement Dave said, you know, if evil comes upon you, we know where that comes from the Lord. You know, I mean, I didn't know that for a long time. But when I found it in his word, where he absolutely said that he's the one that creates evil, I thought, wow. And then you see people that find that, and then they write books about God didn't mean what he said. Well, let me tell you, if he said it, I have seen pastors write books that doesn't mean what it says. But I tell you what, I ain't going to waste my time. If God said, I'm the one that does this, I'm just going to give him the glory and say, okay, God. And again, just like Dave said a while ago, if you make him happy and you walk whole in his presence, man, he'll bless your socks off.
Amen.
And then bless them back on again, you know. And I love it. I love it. God is so good when we obey him. Whatever you live like, your kids are going to be just like it or worse. Yesterday I talked about some of these things in family soul ties. I didn't near get through with my talk. And I started out at the beginning talking about some things, and I had about an 8 or 10 page outline I was going to use on soul ties. And I got about halfway through it in a 4-hour talk. You don't realize the importance of soul ties, you know, relationships, bonding yourself or joining yourself with your mate or your children or your friends or whatever, but it has everlasting effects. You need to be careful who your friends are. You'll be spoiled or made rotten to the core if you choose the wrong friends. That's what's wrong with this bunch in Washington. That's what's wrong with our world. You know this, that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Are we there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're there. Verse 3 and 4. Without natural affection. Oh, are we there? It is really something to think about. But when you begin to see the things that are going on, when you can read the book of Revelation like I have 30 times in the last 2 or 3 months, and you think about some of these things. In fact, I remember the first time I read the book of Revelation. I'm telling you, I went to bed that night. I read the whole book. That night. I mean, I meditated. I probably spent 3 hours reading those little 22 chapters. But I went to bed that night, and I'm telling you, I had the worst nightmares I've ever had in my life. Ooh, God got my attention. It shook me to the core. Well, now don't shake me at all. I mean, I know who's in control now. Back in those days, I thought I was in control. Now I know the king's in control. So when he says these kind of things, it don't bother me at all. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And boy, in fact, over the last few holidays, everywhere we've been, there's been televisions. We went out to eat the other night at a restaurant, and there was 5 or 6 televisions, and I think there was a different football game on every cotton-picking channel. I couldn't believe it. I mean, and some guys are watching all of them. And that reminded me of the time I went that time a few years ago. I went to talk to a man that was sick. He was having a problem. He wouldn't come to church, so his wife asked me if I'd go to their home Sunday afternoon after church. So I agreed. I said, okay, I'll go. When I got there, I walked in, and she met me at the door, and she took me into this big den. They had a big, beautiful home. And I went in there, and I stopped at the door, and I looked in, and I thought, what? There's the Dallas paper laying there, the Fort Worth paper laying there, and 3 big screen televisions. And every one of them is on a different football game. I come in and I said, well, I need to talk to you. He said, well, wait, not right now. I said, no. I come here to talk to you about God, and you either throw them newspapers away and you turn off all them stupid televisions right now, or I'm going to walk out that door and I'm going to let you die. He turned off the TVs. You know, Dave has told me many times, Thurman, you would never pass your pastoral care class in college. And that's right. I ain't going to pass it. Because I ain't going to bow to no God besides Jesus. I ain't going in and bow to three stupid television sets and let that guy watch. Every time they go, if they all happen to go to commercial at the same time, he's reading the Dallas paper. You talk about got it bad? This guy's got it bad. You want to know why he's sick? If he put that kind of time in with God, he'd be a general. He'd be a general in God's army. But does the scripture say that lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? Hey, we're there. Many people are guilty of that. I mean, boy. Verse 5 and 6, let's go on here. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I had a man tell me the other day, a doctor that was at, he's a dentist, but he's a doctor, and he's from San Antonio, and he was at the Big Sandy meeting a few years ago at Bill Gothard when I made God's Power. Have anybody in here heard the CD, God's Power? If you haven't heard it, get you a copy of it. It's right over here under the CDs, under the G's, God's Power, and you listen to it, and you'll see what got me thrown out of the Bill Gothard conferences. God did three awesome miracles in Bill Gothard's office when I prayed for people over the telephone, and it changed his life forever. He said, Thurman, you're going to speak at my conference. I said, but Bill, you know, he said, but you say you're a Baptist, but said you ain't a Baptist. I said, I know I'm a Christian. He said, well, okay, but he said, with the miracles I've seen God do when you pray for these people, he said, he was there firsthand, and God did an instantaneous healing on three people when I prayed for them over the telephone. He said, you're going to be in my conference and you're going to speak there. So he signed me up for four or five, sent me a brochure. Here I am on the front page with all these other guys, doctors and so on and so forth, and little nobody ain't ever heard of. I happened to be the very first speaker on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. 3,000 people there. Mostly Christians, yeah. And most people that are not Christian don't come to a Bill Gothard conference. You know, he's a big boy in the teaching world. He's been around a long time. He's a great man of God. I love Bill Gothard. Didn't know him until this event. But whenever I got up there that morning and spoke, I spoke for an hour and a half, and we made the CD called God's Power. Now, the next morning, the PhDs and the pastors of big churches, this is what, I didn't go, but this one doctor from San Antonio that was there, this is what he told me. He said, Thurman, some of those guys got up and just read Bill the Rydeck and said, what we heard yesterday morning, that guy that spoke, he said, we should not have our wives and our children ever hear such junk as that man said. We need to throw him out. And they did. I got to speak one more day. And then they throwed me out. And then they pulled my teaching from that conference. In fact, one of the men that works for Bill Gothard come to my church in Dallas about 6 or 8 weeks later for his wife to be prayed for so she could be healed. And he said, by the way, Pastor, I want you to know that if you happen to see anybody or tell anybody, if they want to know what you said down there that day, you need to know that they have pulled, end of the first week, they pulled your teaching, and everybody who spoke in that conference goes with the conference, but yours, what you said, is not there. I said, well, praise God, I got a copy of it. I said, and I give it away, so I don't sell it like they do. Now, the most number of people I've ever had, the most requests for that one CD, I had one pastor. I've had many people call and ask for 500, 1,500, 2,000, but I've had one pastor call me from Plano one day and said, Thurman, I want that copy, God's Power. Somebody give that to me. I got to have some of those. I said, well, okay, how many do you want? He said, well, how much are they? I said, well, they're free. He said, no, Thurman, I want a bunch. I said, well, they're still free to a pastor of a church. He said, you may not agree with this after I tell you how many I want. I said, how many you want? He said, 5,000. I said, what in the world are you going to do with 5,000 copies of God's Power? He said, I'm going to take my deacon board, one of our flyers, and an envelope, and we're going to take some tape. We're going to stick them on the door of every home in Plano. I said, praise God. And, of course, they put them on all kinds of doors. And, of course, you know, we had some good results. Some people come. And we had one guy that called and said, I couldn't even begin to say the words. Could I, honey? No. I mean, over the telephone when I listened to his message, you blankety blank, blankety blank. Woo, boy, was he if you ever blankety blank blank leave another one of these blankety blank things on my door, I will come to your house and I will kill you with my own gun.
Wow.
Ooh, he was mad. You reckon he had a devil?
Yeah.
I think he had a bunch of them. Had a bunch of them. They said, what are you going to do about that? I said, praise God. I'm going to pray for him. He needs to know Jesus. Do I have to be afraid of the devils? No, not at all. Is my God bigger than any devil? Yeah, my God made the devil, so I don't have no sweat. Why should I be afraid of anything? Having a form of godliness but denying the power therefrom, such turn away. In fact, that doctor told me, I just talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he told me, he said, Thurman, I couldn't hardly sit there and contain myself. He said, I heard you say those things, and I knew in my spirit you were telling the truth. He said, I hadn't had nothing. I'd never heard of you, but he said, I knew in my spirit you were telling the truth. He said, I wanted two or three times, I couldn't hardly contain myself. I wanted to just jump up, and every time one of them would get up and say something about how bad you were, I just wanted to say, well, how many miracles have you seen in your church in the last year?
Amen.
But he said, I just couldn't tell myself to get up and do that. But he said, I wanted to. He said, I did tell my wife when I walked out of that meeting that morning when I got to her. I told her, I said, honey, I don't know who this guy Thurman Scrivener is, but you can be assured I'm going to learn who he is. I'm going to learn who that man is. And, of course, the man did come to me. He had, as a doctor, but he had some problems. And when I prayed for him, he told me the other day, all my problems went away. Now, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
All his physical problems went away. Now, I know I did that, didn't I? No, I didn't do that. Who did that for him? The King. Jesus. He's an awesome God. You know, I'm telling you, he's an awesome God. He says, from these people that deny the power, what are we to do? Turn away from them. Have nothing to do with them. You know, don't argue with them. Don't fuss with them. Did you know that after I got back, Bill called me and he said, Thurman, you got to come back, spend a few days with me. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to teach in my health and wellness seminar every evening from 6 to 8. I said, okay. I said, how many people do you think will be there? He always said 100. I said, okay. So I flew back down there. And when I got there, he said, you know, I want you to speak in my health and wellness seminar in the evening from 6 to 8. But he said, I want you to be in my office. I got some letters I need to answer, and I want your help. I said, what do you mean? He said, just be here in the morning. I said, okay. So I showed up in his office, and he had a stack of letters that tall. And we take number one, some PhD from some seminary or some pastor or some big church, and he's condemning me for what I said and where I get this stuff. And I try my best to answer him with Scripture. I did that all day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And every night from 6 to 8, I taught 2 hours in his health and wellness seminar. Now, finally Thursday, I said, Bill, do you know these guys? We're still going down through this list. I said, do you know these guys? He said, well, most of them I do. I said, do these guys, any of these guys walk in the power of God? He said, no. I said, okay. Then the Scripture tells me to turn away from them. I said, so it's over. I'm going home in the morning. I ain't answering no more letters. And I went home the next morning. And I ain't never contacted none of those men. Of course, I've talked to Bill a couple of times. Bill wrote a new book that went to China. I forget how many. They sent, was it 3 million or 30 million copies of his new book. They was asked by the Chinese government to send his teachings over there. He wrote a new book called God's The Kingdom Authority. Thank you. And he sent me a copy of it to be looked at before he sent it. He said, Thurman, since I've met you, I've written this new book called The Kingdom Authority. I want you to read it. He said, now, Many of the stories you'll read in there, they're yours, but I couldn't put your name in there. I just want you to know, is it okay for me to tell these stories?
After the book is written.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, but he asked me, yeah. But anyway, I told him, of course. I said, what are you going to do with this book? He said, I've been asked by the Chinese Christian government, the ones that are Christians in the Chinese government, the governors of many of those whatever over there, provinces in China, and it was either 30 million, 3 million or 30 million of those that he had been requested to send to China. And he said, I put in a lot of your stuff. I thought, God, you're beyond my wildest dreams. You use me for your glory. You send me down there. You get me, I make a few things, teach Bill Gothard some things. You throw me, you get me thrown out, and then you get a book written that about the stuff I've written, and you send it to 30 million people that's willing to listen to your words. Isn't God awesome? When he says, praise me in all things, he knows what he's doing all the time, doesn't he, Bill? Yeah, me too. I mean, so I didn't fuss about none of that. I mean, I don't care if they throw me out. You know, you can't deny the things I've seen God do in my life. You cannot deny them. Can you, Jack?
No.
Jack got healed in this ministry too. He can't deny it either. But the beautiful part about it is when a man gets healed and then he learns how to pray and God starts answering his prayer, that's what it's all about. You know, and he said many prayers answered since he got healed. Now then, praise God, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers or various kinds of lust. Verse 7 and 8. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. Men in the church that go with a woman or sneak into her house to have sex with her. Tell her they love her. Make light of her, and they only want one thing, her body. Oh, no man in the church would ever do anything like that, would he? The church is full of them. Church is full of them. If you're a man and you're going with a woman, you ought to be in the church, and you should never go with a woman that's not in the church. But if you're a single man and you're going with some woman, you need to make sure that you keep yourself clean and pure, holy. No sex before marriage. None. None. Not unless you want to suffer the consequences. I talked this yesterday at a healing school about how that when we have sex before we get married, we generate an unholy soul tie. And how we invite a demon in. And then God will use that demon when you have sex before you get married and you get that unholy soul tie and you get that demon. Then maybe you marry that girl. And then a few months or a year or two or three after that, all of a sudden, you become impotent and you can't have sex anymore. And so what you thought you couldn't live without because you got an unholy soul tie, God fixed it where you can't have it. Your desires are still there, but your hardware don't work. And so when I told that, there's a lady come up and she said, you know, that happened in my life. I had sex with my husband before we got married. And said, now that we were married just a few years, he can't go there no more. We can't have sex. I said, well, it was the sin that you committed before. That's why you can't have it. I've seen this over and over and over. So see, people don't understand that scripture, that the book of wisdom, which is not in our canon, but the book of wisdom clearly says that. In fact, Dave, put that scripture on the board for me. Wisdom 10:16, I believe it is. 15 and 16. There it is right there. The book of wisdom. 11. In return for their foolish and wicked thoughts, which led them astray to worship irrational serpents and worthless animals, you, God, sent upon them a multitude of irrational creatures to punish them so that they might learn that one is punished by the very things by which one sins. That's a good scripture. You know that? It may not be in the canon, but it sure is a good scripture. When I read that years ago, I already knew this. I had observed this just from what I'd done in a healing school. But I thought, now I know why people's teeth fall out. Now I know why men get cancer in their eyes. Now I know why men have problems with their prostate. You don't get by with nothing. Somebody said, well, I got prostate trouble. I'm just 60 years old, but I ain't had sex with no woman but my wife. I said, in how long? Well, in 20 years. Oh, but what'd you do before that? Well, yeah, I used to run around on her. I didn't tell her. She didn't ever know it. Oh, so God didn't strike you right then, but he did 20 years later. You know, when you get 60, you ain't supposed to have prostate trouble. You know that? If you've ever run around your wife, you better get on your face before God and tell him how sorry you are that you messed up. Because what does that say? Oh, yeah, lust. Lust does the same thing. You might have never run around on your wife. But you see these guys, I'll never forget this man. He was in my office one time years ago. And a guy come in, businessman. We talked about the Word of God. We talked about business for the first 30 minutes. And then we got the business taken care of. Then I said, before you leave, I want to ask you a question. Are you a born-again Christian? Well, yeah. Okay. And, of course, while we're talking business, I had a great big glass window in my office that looked out into the computer center. Well, we have some nice-looking, attractive women that work in that place. One of the really attractive ones, she come walking by to go to the other end of the computer room. He's there talking to me, and all of a sudden, he's talking to me, oh, boy, you're talking, and he watches her till she's out of sight. And then in a little while, when she starts by, he kind of stutters, and he's watching her all the way, and he's still talking to me. And I'm observing what he's doing. He's looking at her from the top to the bottom. Ooh, wow, ooh, she's pretty. I asked him, I said, after I got talking to him about being a Christian, he said, you know, after we talked 15 or 20 minutes, he said, you know, I got a problem. I said, what's that? He said, I got a son that's 16 years old, and he's eat up with lust for girls. I said, that doesn't surprise me at all. He said, what do you mean? I said, he's a chip off the old block. He said, what do you mean? I said, hey, a while ago when that girl walked by there, I said, you almost lost your train of thought talking to me when you watched her till she was completely out of sight. And I said, when she came back, you're sitting there kind of looking out there. When she got within sight, I said, you stuttered and you stopped till she got completely out of sight. I said, you got a lust problem yourself. I said, you need to get a hold of that. I said, your son is watching you, Dad. He knows what you're doing, and you got a lust problem, so that same demon is passed on to your son because the sins of the fathers are passed to the children to the fourth generation. I said, that's why your son's got the problem. I said, until you change, I said, your son ain't going to change. God tells fathers to walk holy. Does he not? We don't believe God. That's an awesome scripture. So that they might learn that one is punished by the very things by which one sins. Wow. Okay, let's go back to 2 Timothy 3. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. Now, these people are supposed to be faith people. These are church members we're talking about here. This is not the world. This is men in church. Verse 9 and 10. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity or love, and my patience. Now then, when you know me, if you spend enough time with me, you should know me, and this should be the words that come out of your mouth. What do you think about Thurman Scrivener? He's one of the godliest men I ever met. He walks in a greater faith than anybody I've ever known. How would you like for people to know us like that? How about Jack Butler? You know him? Oh, yeah. Is he a Christian? I mean, that's one of the most godly men I ever met in my life. Anytime something goes wrong, I ask Jack to pray for me, and God always answers his prayer. Is that the way you should be known, Jack? Instead of like this. What about Jack Butler? Oh, that creep. You know, he's always running around with a different woman. He sleeps with a different woman in every town. You know, I mean, golly, he's wicked. Does he go to church? Oh, yeah, he goes to a big Baptist church down here. But he's wicked. I've been out with him before. I know what he does. He's lots of fun to be with. You want to go get laid with a woman? Just go with Jack. Now, that ain't the way we want to be known, is it, Jack?
No.
But is there men in the church that are known like that? They're all over the place. What does God tell us to do with these kind of people? Turn away from them. Run away from them. I mean, run away from them. You don't want nothing to do with somebody that will not go to church, that will not put God first. You need to be very careful how you pick your friends. In these last days, it's going to get straight and narrow. When God tells us, walk that straight and narrow path, don't look to the right or to the left. Keep your eyes right on that path. You think he means that? I know he does too. Why is there no power in the church today? Too many men are looking to the right and to the left. Yeah. Verse 11 and 12. Persecutions, afflictions which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. See, what does that mean? Yea, there's the answer right there. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, oh, you're going to be blessed and there's not going to be any problems. Is that what he says? What did he say, Miss Betty? If you're going to serve me and put me first, you're going to suffer persecution. We don't like that, do we? But it's going to happen. If God said it's going to happen, just get prepared for it. When people tell me, oh, my whole world falling apart, all these things, oh, Thurman, you got to do something. I say, get used to it. You're just starting. Just get used to it, you know. It's going to happen. Oh, but my friends are coming against me. I don't want to talk about Jesus no more because they all say I'm a nut. Hey, praise God. Talk more about him. But they'll throw me out. Praise God. You'll receive a reward for that. Anything you do for Jesus. If you go with the world and go with them, hey, you're going to lose everything. Verse 13 and 14. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Is it happening? Never have I seen anything like going on with our government. And not just the government. It's everybody. Almost everybody. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue in the Word of God and believing in God's Word. Don't turn your back on God's Word. If God told you to be holy, He meant be holy. Verse 15 and 16. And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Why is it important that we study the Word of God? All scriptures, profitable. All of it. You can read anywhere. Verse 17, let's see what the last verse says. That the man of God may be perfect. Now then, you consider yourself a man of God? You're a man of God? Hold up your hand if you say you're a man of God. What is your goal according to the King? Oh, yeah, women too. When I'm saying man, that means women too. Yeah, you girls, hold up your hand. Mankind, that's right. If you consider yourself a man of God, what is the goal? Be perfect. Be holy and be perfect. The doctrine that tells us that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what we should be. Now then, with knowing what's coming, is it about time we obeyed God? How would you like to be on this earth and you hadn't done what he said? And how would you like to be here when this magnetic pull, that when it starts doing what we can't feel it do yet, when it gets to the point where we can feel this beast wobble? Oh, yeah. Every mountain. And whenever those mountains start falling out of the heavens into the sea, some of them may hit the earth and this land. The book of Revelation is beyond your wildest dreams. Until you begin to understand what's happening in space, you think, this could not be. But if it said it in the book of Revelation, it's going to be. So would it be? Is it a good time to know Jesus? Extremely good time, right, Scott? Ain't never been another time better than right now to know Jesus. We need to know the Word, don't we? Yeah. I mean, we need to know the Word of God. Well, praise God. We've had a, huh? Oh, yeah, we're going to have a baptism here. We're going to close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go in there, and we're going to, we got two people we're going to baptize today, and so we're going to go in there and baptize them, and then we will come back out here and pray for those that need to be prayed for after we baptize these two. You guys go get ready to be baptized and whatever, and then we will go in there. Pat went in there a while ago and got the tub full of good warm water, I hope. Of course, it's kind of cold today. If it wasn't full of cold water, we may not keep them down very long. You know, the Lord says when we get baptized, we die to self, and we're raised to walk in newness of life, and there is to be how much sin after we baptize, guys? These two young men over here, I mean, that day I preached that before they were baptized, they got it, didn't they? I mean, two young men that I taught that once we get saved, the Scripture says there is to be no more sin in our life. When we're raised to walk in newness of life, there's to be no more sin in a Christian's life. And every time I've asked these young boys, how much can you sin after you get saved? Both of them immediately say, no more sin. None. Now, how would you like to be raising a house full of kids that knew that? Ooh, wouldn't that be great? That would be awesome. Well, how did these boys learn it so early? They come to church, and their pastor tells them the truth, and their daddy and mother lives it. And so they know it. They live it. They see it, and they know that the Word of God is true. And so they're going to do their best to obey God. And they also learn that when they obey God, they don't ever get any spankings at home, as long as they obey. It's only when they disobey that they get a spanking. See? Now, see, that's the same way with God. You don't ever get a spanking from God. Moms and dads don't ever get a spanking as long as they obey. But when they don't obey, God's not beyond giving you and me a spanking, is he, Scott? Nope, he's sure not. Well, we don't want any. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. Then we're going to go in there and we're going to baptize them. Then we will come back. And if you don't want to stay, you're welcome to dismiss after I have the prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for this day and for the beauty of your word and all the things you're showing us and telling us. And we are so glad we're your children. So glad that we know you as Lord and Savior. We ask you to bless everything we do today and this week. And we want to just do things that will please you. And in Jesus' name, amen.